the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people gets colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive, love is found. Now ask yourself.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Brother Kwabena and Brother Bernard, who are coming here this morning to have a conversation with about 200 boys, 10 to 15 years old, about the Clear the Airways Project. Now, guys, you just heard the song that opened up just now. That's great, man. Why can't we have more of that?
That's a good question. We were just talking before we went to Russia about it being pretty much just profit driven. And the reality, I mean, they have an agenda as well. They coincide with, you know, they're making money. Of course, they want to make money too, but they can make money by putting us in jail, locking us up. I want to use the example of Public Enemy, and there's several different groups that fall into the same category that were making these industries. These industry heads are making them a whole bunch of money. They decide to change the message because the message helps to self-destruct the neighborhood. We had like Public Enemy, Brand Nubian, Four Righteous Seizures. We were buying that music and we were going to those concerts too. And so it's not just profit, it's also messaging and what the message does to these kids, what it gets them to do. Filling up these prisons, shooting each other, that sort of thing. If you think about on the macro level, gentrification, people in these neighborhoods of black and brown people. So if you got music that's encouraging the kids to kill each other, you got some that are dying, you got some that are going to jail, you got people that are fearful living in those neighborhoods, so they're just voluntarily moving out. So it's across the board. And I want to add, like, there's an artist from Milwaukee, Speech Thomas from Arrested Development.
Right.
Their first. And he talked about how their first album made buku money for the record company. The second album, because the messages were just as good, if not better, than the first album, the record company Deep System. They didn't promote the album. They didn't do anything to help promote the band. And the first album won Grammys. So it wasn't all about the music. It's about the messages that this industry. It's not all about the money, but it's sometimes it's about the messages that this, we'll call them devilish, music industry wants to put out. The people, and the influence of music.
So let me ask you guys, man. Could people say on the other side of this rock music and what rock music does to the listeners of it, that it's more than just what's happening, you know, with the music in our communities? Kind of think you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I just think generally. Whether it be rock or whether it be hip hop music.
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Bit. Yeah, sorry. Well, Earl, like, do you have any ideas of like what any parallels that you could draw between the two?
You mean between rock and hip hop?
Like, insofar as influence.
Gangster rap.
Yeah.
No, I mean, man, I can't. Probably if I had time, I could, but maybe, guys, is it maybe that we shouldn't be even looking at the parallel because looking at the strewn, the bodies strewn all over our neighborhoods and communities and the impact that this is having on our communities and the future of our people, that there is no comparison?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to hint at, because I think when it comes to hip-hop music and a lot of the portrayals, gangster... You know, culture and drugs and I mean, the entire culture. People have to understand that like a lot of that comes from direct things that a lot of that was originated in specifically direct things that the government did to inner city like communities, right? Like the crack cocaine epidemic being a specific plot by the government to put crack in these neighborhoods to then gain money to then sell to communist front groups in Nicaragua in the 80s. And like the labeling as super predators, or the Bill Clinton's 1990s crime bill, which all these specific government policies and actions, right, attributed to a lot of the problems in which we see, which then influenced the culture. Like hip hop specifically started in the in the late 70s, but it became more popular in the mid 80s. And those institutional problems were already present, right? And that was right after the, you know, Great Society programs of the 60s. And you had a lot of, let's say discrimination wasn't, let's say, prominent at a federal level, but it definitely was more prominent at a municipal level at that time. And so that's why, like, you can't really draw any parallels, because in rock music, a lot of the "they influence our children negatively" rhetoric is based around religion, you know, like with metal music being devilish or whatever. And that's purely superstition. With hip hop, a lot of the negative influence, yeah, it is negative influence. Like, yes, it is. Like, I'm not going to be the one to say that culture isn't negatively influencing children. But at the same time, it's a direct response into things that we can directly trace that were institutional things or issues that the government directly did to these communities, that they've also tried to label as conspiracy theories or lacking evidence, despite the fact that there's tons of evidence on these things. And so that's one thing I would want to say.
Yeah, he made very good points. There's definitely a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff besides the music.
Yeah.
The music is a major issue, but as he indicated, I mean, black people have always been oppressed in this country. There's a function of that oppression. Black people have always been the majority of us, or many of us always also been poor, too. With that poverty comes the other manifestations of criminality, depravity, all sorts of issues. All of that stuff comes hand in hand with it. What was I going to say in connection to that? What were we just talking about? But, you know, the rate. Oh, so all those issues have always been present, but in terms of morality, values, the black community has also always had more high morality, ethics, values, you know, how we raised our kids, things that we pushed on our kids, things that were in the music. Nina Simone, Bob Marley, Fela Kuti, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Commodores. I think I already mentioned Marvin Gaye, the Isley Brothers, Harvest for the World. We've always had music that basically pushed the morality, the ethics, the values that were in our culture, that were embedded within our culture. And so what's changed is the messaging and the music. It used to be that even the gangs in the community, if you shot a 5-month-old baby in the head, you were dealt with immediately. If you shot an elder in the community, the gangs would deal with you immediately. So now we don't even have that. The values have dropped so much. And that's a result of the music. Because brothers,
thank you very much. We got to go to a break. I will see you guys later on this morning.
Thank you.
Be safe. All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be back.